Thanks, Bola. Let's get Tom up. Let's give Tom a warm welcome. I'm going to pray for Tom as he shares. Lord, we thank you for Tom. Thank you for how he's been preparing in his heart and with his words, Lord, over the last few weeks. And we pray, Holy Spirit, would you be working through him? I pray that you would use his words to speak directly to us, Lord, to help us see you in all your glory and know how we might be able to serve you, bless you, serve each other as much as possible, Lord. Use Tom for your glory this morning, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much. Morning, everyone. I'm Tom, if you didn't catch that. So good to see you guys today. I'll start with a story. So, because that's always a good place to start. I was on a train. So I was on a train on my way to an amazing day. I was on my way to Tunbridge Wells. I don't love Tunbridge Wells, but there was a Bible study day in Tunbridge Wells. So it's part of the LEAD course, which is an amazing course that's run by our family of churches. I'd really recommend it. So I was going there and I was really excited about studying the Word of God. I had my listened to some worship. I was just looking at the Bible on my phone, you know, being a great Christian, you know, having a great day on my table. There's a woman across from me, she was just doing her thing on her phone, that's fine. Had my table seat, you know, the day was set up. And then I got interrupted. Someone just nudged me and then I had headphones off. And there's a guy there with like a leaflet right in my face. And it was this lovely bright coloured Comic Sans leaflet all about Jesus. And I was like, oh, it's great, don't worry. I already know Jesus, it's fine. Good luck with what you're doing. And then put my headphones back on and he was off. Corner of my eye, so he interrupted the woman who was on the table opposite me and started talking to her. And then I was just kind of, yeah, nodding. And then he came back to me. And I was like, okay. He said, can you take a photo? I was like, what? You take a photo of me. I was like, why? He was like, doing evangelism, photo. And I was like, why do you need a photo? Like, God sees you doing it. You don't need a photo. But then he said, oh, it's for Facebook. It's for Facebook. I was like, no, you don't need this for Facebook. You don't need to show everyone on Facebook. You don't need to show your pastor. You're fine. God sees you. Anyway, he insisted, and he was a really nice guy. So I was like, yeah, I'll take a photo. And then I realized, oh, this lady's going to be in the photo. She hasn't even consented to that. So I was like, oh, I'm really sorry. She's like, oh, it's fine. It's absolutely fine. I was like, I'll make sure your face won't be in the photo, just like your hand re-receiving the leaflet you've already received. So I took the photo, and then he was happy with that. He was off, and then it was just sorry to the lady. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'm a Christian as well. She's like, oh, really? And I said, yeah, some Christians, you know, can get a bit funny. You know, they feel like they've got to go and tell everyone about Jesus. And it's like, you know, they'll be in trouble with their church, you know. And, you know, it's just, it gets a bit unhealthy sometimes. You know, they feel like there's pressure to do it. She goes, oh, really? I didn't know that. I was like, yeah. And I put my headphones back on. And that was my journey. And I went to study the word of the Lord that day. Without preaching the word of the Lord. So why should you listen to me? So, well, I was given this title, Spirit-Led Evangelism. So what is evangelism? It's telling people the gospel, the good news, okay? So what is the good news? Well, you can read the good news in the gospels, these eyewitness accounts by Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Jewish men who lived in the Middle East in the first century who met this man called Jesus and they slowly discovered that he was the Son of God, born as a human being, living a perfect life, healing the sick, casting out demons, bringing the kingdom of God in word and in power, teaching and showing what God loves and what God hates. And John tells us that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you'd know me, you'd know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and you've seen him, Jesus, Son of God. Then he was executed by the Romans. He died, but his followers carried on following him. Why? Well, because 3 days later, they saw him walking, talking, holes in his hands, but very much alive and kicking, even barbecuing fish for them on a beach for breakfast. He spent 40 days with them, even appearing to 500 of them at one time. Then he ascended to heaven. But Jesus' followers still kept following him. They continued to follow the way, the truth, and the life. They did the same things he did. They healed the sick. They cast out demons. They taught and showed what God loved and what God hated. No wonder people started calling them Christians, little Christs. They continued to obey Jesus' commands, even to the point of being violently killed. They would rather die than stop telling people the good news that Jesus is alive. Because when Jesus died on the cross, the good news is he took our place. He took all our sin, our guilt, our shame, our debt. He was separated from God. And when we put our trust in him, when we call on his name, he takes away everything that separates us from God. We receive his righteousness, his right standing before God. Forgiveness, new life, adopted children of God, a new soft heart towards God and towards others. Peace, boldness, assurance from the Holy Spirit. The authority to heal and cast out demons. The power to forgive even our enemies. Even your wife, husband, brother, sister, neighbor. The power to resist sinful desires, to serve the poor, to endure all kinds of suffering, to be content with riches, to be content with poverty, good times, bad times, and eternal life in the new heavens and the new earth, living in perfect bliss. Now that is good news. Am I right? That's good news. Breaking news. That's the gospel. That's the good news. But his perfect life, death, and resurrection. So you can't share the gospel without talking about Jesus. Evangelism is telling people the good news that Jesus is alive. So let me tell you about some teenagers I work with. So I was chatting to them. They're coming up, year 11, coming up to the end of the year. They have their leavers assembly. They all dress up. Weird and wonderful costumes. So this boy in my tutor group, I asked him, what are you going to dress up as? First guy I asked, honestly, guess who's going to dress up as? It's always the answer in church. Jesus. He's going to dress up as Jesus, okay? Yeah, and he said, my friends, they're going to dress up as dinosaurs. I've got 12 friends going to dress up in a huge, the big, kind of inflatable dinosaur costume. So he's going to come to church as Jesus with his 12 disciples, dinosaur disciples, okay? Yeah, my kids found it funny as well. Have mercy, Lord. I asked him, why Jesus and the disciples, why have you put those two together? And he said, they're just from the past, aren't they? So I think I had a conversation about, history and different periods of history. I don't think he's doing history A level. But for him, Jesus and dinosaurs are in the past. They're in that category, dead, extinct. And if Christ has not been raised, if he is just in the past, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins. You might as well go home, guys. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Yeah? The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death through Adam, and as we're all born as Adams, as sinful, broken people, for by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. 1 Corinthians. Okay, Easter. 2 weeks ago, I was listening to CBeebies in the car. If you don't know CBeebies, get to know. Brilliant radio station. And Reverend Kate Botley was telling the Easter story. She talks about the day, the first ever Easter Sunday. Even though Jesus now lives in heaven, his love is still alive in our hearts. And with his kindness and love, we can make sad people happy, just like Jesus did. I wasn't sure with my kids. I had to interrupt there. I was like, I'm not quite sure if that is the gospel, because it kind of sounds like what Jesus did do. Jesus is dead, absent, just like Jesus did, past tense, like the dinosaurs. Yes, Jesus did. He did make sad people happy with kindness and love, but he does do that today. He still does that today. The good news is he's alive. And the vicar ended by saying, so every Easter, Christians sit down together with our family and friends to eat and celebrate life, hope, and new beginnings. Just like every peaceful dinner time with my kids. Celebrate new beginnings. Sounds nice. That's not the gospel, okay? That isn't actually the good news. The good news is God's Son, Jesus, came, lived a perfect life, died as a perfect sacrifice, rose as a perfect saviour, and saves anyone who calls on his name. He's alive now, today, him, the person. So it's really important we get that the gospel's not a nice, warm feeling of life, hope, new beginnings. Every religion promises that. Every lifestyle guru promises that. Every Instagram reel promises that. Yeah, life, hope, new beginnings. But the good news, the gospel, is that Jesus, specifically him, is alive. We don't just have a vague sense of life. We have this real life. We've died to our old selves. We have baptisms in this pool here under the ground because we've died to our old selves. Under the water, come up, born again as children of God. He came that we could have life and life in all its fullness. And we don't just have a vague sense of hope. We have a sure and steadfast hope of eternal life. We don't just have a vague sense of new beginnings. We have experienced the new beginning of knowing every single one of our sins has been paid for. Even that one that you're thinking of right now. That one. We felt our crippling shame lift. And then we experienced this fresh new beginning again and again. Every time we stumble, every time we sin, repent of our sins, we get back up by the grace of God. This is real life, real hope, real new beginnings. It's all due to Jesus, not just a vague sense. of life, hope, and new beginnings. You can get that from anything, any decent song, film, story, friendship, holiday, job, relationship, pub, religion. You can get that vague sense. If you notice what people talk about now when things go wrong, I've had people who aren't Christians, they say to me, sending you good thoughts, positive energy, sending you my best. People talk about being blessed by the universe. There's a man, Jesus, specific. He's the one who's alive and kicking of resurrection power, okay? I'll tell you a time about a boat, okay? So I was traveling with my wife in Indonesia. Wasn't our gap year, but it was a little mini month away. And we had this trip between two islands in Indonesia. It was only like a 25-minute boat journey. We went on the fast boat, obviously. We're in a rush, got to get to our desert island for our photos. And the journey there was nice. You know, I don't love boats, but it was okay. It was peaceful, sunny, and we had a lovely time there. But when we came to come back, we probably should have been warned, because the people coming off the boat were covered in wet moisture. I don't know, vomit, sea water, whatever it was. They were staggering. And we were like, okay, but, well, we'll get on. We got on, and we got on this little boat. There's 15 of us. Boat about this, from about, I guess, here to the front of the room, and they stick like 5 outboard engines on it. It's definitely not like EU regulations, and not that matter for us. But anyway, so we got on the boat, and then within minutes we realized it wasn't going to be like the journey before. It wasn't going to be like it, okay? The waves started and they continued and they increased. We had waves crashing the side of the boat, we're gripping on, we've got these like bars in front of us. I wonder why they were there. We had these water crashing on top of us, on top of the boat. We had a kind of like a little roof, but all outside water coming in, flying, grabbing onto our bags. The boat would be rising up, and then the engines would cut. They'd cut all the engines out, and then you look down, and you see below you, I don't know, 40 meters of nothing. Like, imagine a roller coaster, and you're at the top, and you're about to go down. We just ride it down into this cavern of death. And then we rise up and then quick, get the engine on, ride it up again. So the 25-minute journey took 2 hours. And for about 1 hour 55 of those 2 hours, I wasn't preaching the gospel. I wasn't helping my wife. I wasn't really grateful for all the positive vibes my non-Christian friends were sending me. I was like this. Jesus! Jesus! I didn't even look at Flo the whole time. This nice German lady that did that. Thank you. I appreciate her. Maybe an angel. Maybe a lovely German angel. So, when the rubber hits the road, we know, deep down, he's the guy, he's got the power. His name. That's the only name. So how do we tell people that Jesus is alive? How do we share the gospel, the good news? How do we do evangelism? What's the best way? Okay? So I'm going to give you some different evangelism styles here, guys. It's going to be quick. Any ones that you like, give me a cheer. Any ones you don't like, give me a boo. It's fine. Here's a few. Friendship evangelism. Whoa. Presence evangelism. You've got to be quick. Direct evangelism. Intellectual evangelism. Testimonial evangelism. Invitational evangelism. Service evangelism. Open air evangelism. Treasure hunting evangelism. Trickle down evangelism. Door to door evangelism. The Romans Road evangelism. Yes, Ray Wynn. That's why you're on the front row. Keep it up. Lifestyle evangelism. The four spiritual laws evangelism, hospitality evangelism, child evangelism, the three circles method evangelism, the camel method evangelism. I do like that one, actually. Creative evangelism. More on that if you want to ask me later. Televangelism, radio evangelism, internet evangelism. My kids like the idea of television evangelism. Social media evangelism, phone evangelism. So many people are called to social media evangelism. Creative evangelism, tract evangelism, archaeology evangelism. Shout out to the geeks. Prophetic evangelism, and even pulpit evangelism. There's a lot. D.L. Moody was an evangelist in 19th century America, and when he was being criticized about the way he was evangelizing, he said, "It's clear you don't like my way of doing evangelism. You raise some good points. Frankly, sometimes I don't like my way of evangelism. But I like my way of doing it better than your way of doing it." Mic drop. The point is, we like to judge other Christians. I love to judge that guy on the train. I was so much more sophisticated than him in his Comic Sans leaflet. You know, it was so much more nuanced than that. But he was preaching the gospel and I wasn't. I was in my own zone. We like to hear about the new and exciting method of evangelism sometimes. And to be honest with you, we worry so much. I worry so much about how to do it. I end up not even doing it. I judge other people for their way, but I don't do it. Now, we've got some really good news. It's really simple. We've met this incredible person. It's amazing news. Tell people. Tell people the good news that Jesus is alive. Let me tell you about one of my colleagues. It came up at work that I was a Christian. You know, obviously, made a few teasing comments. I'm not going to say I'm persecuted because I don't live in Iran. He's just having a laugh. We're free in this country. Let's make use of it. But he was making a few jokes and stuff. And then later it came out that he was, he told me like about his background, how he used to sing in a choir in church, used to go to church. And he was like, I don't know why I stopped going actually. And then we talked a bit more about it. We were in the pub and there were some other people around. And he said, oh yeah, it was when he was being invited to take communion for the first time. And he realized that his mum didn't take communion. And he asked his mum, and he asked the church leaders why his mum didn't take communion. And they said, oh, because she's divorced. She can't take communion. He was like, what? I've watched my dad physically abuse my mum for years, have finally have the courage to leave him, and then the church is saying she can't take communion. She's excluded. So I was able to share about the woman caught in adultery, about the religious leaders, and about Jesus saying, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. This was in the pub, people hearing. If people know we're Christians, stick with it. Spend time with them. You don't know who God is drawing. And the reason you're here today is because someone talked to you about Jesus. And you may have heard another famous quote. This is thought to be said by Sir Francis of Assisi, big name. He said, preach the gospel at all times and use words if necessary. Ah, nice. Stick that on your fridge. Now, I understand the heart behind that comment, but actually it could be quite dangerous. I hope Sir Assisi is just being provocative. He's trying to provoke people to show love through their actions, not just their words, okay? But of course, words are necessary. You can't preach the gospel without words. Sure, practice what you preach, but don't forget to preach. I think the enemy loves it when we think that evangelism is just loving and serving people. We love people. We bring the good vibes. We love verses like, I'm just being salt here. I'm just bringing the kingdom. I'm just being a light here. Yeah, but the words need to come. Yeah, the words, the message, that's what can set that person free. In Romans 10, it says, how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Someone opened their mouth and told you the good news that Jesus is alive. Yeah, pass it on. Let me tell you a story about Bethel and death metal. Okay, not two things you often hear about together. I love Bethel music. I love some of those songs. Jam to those in the car. Beautiful, uplifting songs. I was talking to some friends again in the pub, and they were talking about how, oh, you're a Christian. They were talking about dating. And they said, oh, it's different for you. We had a little chat. But then we got on to, he reminded him of another friend he knew who was a Christian. Well, not a friend, a colleague. And this colleague, he said, oh, she really annoys me. I was like, oh, how come? He said, well, she plays the Christian music every day at work. I listen to it every day. And it was Bethel music, we found out. And he was like, I hate it. And he was like, I hate the sentimentality. I hate how repetitive it is. It's so cheesy. He was like, I really hate it. And I was like, okay, well, yeah, it's fine. And then he said, and one time I played my music just once. Just once. She made me turn it off instantly. I was like, what did you play? He's like, oh, I played death metal to her. Now, I love metal, you know. There's amazing, there's nothing wrong with distorted guitars and energy and life on the drum kit, okay? But the subgenre of death metal can often be quite preoccupied with satanic imagery. Very dark, okay? So we had a conversation. He told me some of the lyrics of some of the songs he'd listened to, and it was some of the most shocking things I've ever heard in my life. Guess these attention seekers, you know, they want to shock people. Anyway, we had a chat, it was fine. But then the next morning he texted me, and he was like, I just woke up feeling so bad. I woke up feeling so bad. I got so much regret. And he was like, what did I say to you? I'm so sorry for what I said. I said something really bad. And I was like, no, you didn't. It's fine. I'm always up for a conversation. And then I was sitting in church. And then I felt from God, like, no, there's more to say here. There's more to say. And I said to him, to be honest with you, you waking up feeling that way sounds like God's trying to get your attention. Sounds like God is trying to show himself to you. Be open-minded. He's speaking to you. And I left him with that, and we'll see what happens with that. But the message has to come. God is alive. And you need to remember, you can't make someone a Christian, okay? God has already drawn them. God softened their heart, lowered their defenses, taken the scales off their eyes. He's revealed this, his son, to them. We are merely messengers. It's amazing. He chooses to use us little Christians, but he's the one that opens their ears. Okay? In Romans 10, it says that even though he's the one that opens their ears, we have a role. How are they to believe in him who they've never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? And also remember, most of the times you talk to someone about Jesus, they won't call on the name of Jesus. I didn't call on the name of Jesus the first time someone told me the good news, but one time I did. It was a really simple message. Just because your parents follow God doesn't mean you do. It's a decision for you to make for yourself. And I'd heard that message before and I'd resisted it. I'd shut it out, shut him out. I said no to God. This might be you sat here today. But God was drawing me. See, he chooses us before we choose him. And that night I said yes. A man said some simple words about Jesus, a simple good news. But that was the night I said yes. Our job is just to tell people the good news. We don't know who God is drawing to him. Let me tell you about the party in the playground. So I was in Bristol with my friends and we were taking the kids to the park. But the best thing to do in life is not to like separate your life from your ministry. Just whatever you're doing, just be open to what's going to happen. We were praying, God, please give us someone to pray with. Give us someone to share with in this park. And there was one other family in the park. Okay. And, we just smiled at them, went to play in the other part of the park. But then our kids kept going over to them and getting in their face. I was like, oh, what's this? Because they had a big cake, obviously. So little kids are just magnetized to the cake. No, come back. No. And obviously they were really nice. So they gave some cake to our kids. And look, birthday cake? No. The cake was to celebrate their daughter had memorized a big portion of the Quran. So, wow. That's a conversation starter. Quran party. So we talked about the Bible. And the amazing thing was, we talked about the Bible a little bit. One of the people in the background. Now, you don't know who's going to hear. When you talk to people in public, yeah, it might not be about that person. It might be someone in the background. Yeah. I remember having a massive kind of argument with someone about whether cannabis was right or wrong to smoke. This was in a food bank. And I had a big row with this guy. Well, not a row, but like, I robustly defended Orthodox Christian teaching on partaking of the herbs. And in the background, someone else was listening quietly. He didn't say a word. And I'm not saying it was just due to that, but that was the guy God was drawing. And that guy's still following Jesus today. Now, back to the party in the park, okay? So this guy in the background started talking to us. And he's from a Muslim background, but he followed Jesus. He didn't know anyone else in Bristol who's a Christian. And then my friend was able to disciple him. I also love the story in Acts 8. This is in the Bible. Philip and the Ethiopian man. This man had come and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And Philip went to him and said, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian man said, how can I unless someone guides me? He invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And Philip opened his mouth. And beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. So this man, he already had the scripture, but he still needed someone to open their mouth and talk to him. It's not about us. God is drawing people to him, but he chooses to use us. We have a part to play. I've got lots of stories, but I was told to do lots of stories, so no apologies. So church I used to go to met in Haverstock School. And the great thing about that was sometimes we'd bump into people who were there for various reasons. One time, we were having a response at the end of the service, and I just felt like I should go and talk to the caretaker. So I went to talk to the caretaker, and I said something simple like, God loves you. I think he wants you to know that. He sees you're a good father. He wants to be your father. And he came to the back of the service. He kneeled. He surrendered his life to Jesus. I don't know if that was the first time he did, or the 100th time. Doesn't matter. Yeah, I'm not keeping a record. But he came to Jesus. I never really spoke to him ever again. Another time, there was a man there, young guy. He came to play football. Football was off. He came into the worship. He was obviously moved by the worship. Me and some other guys started talking to him. We met up with him in cafes. We explained the Bible to him. And we discipled him. And he came to faith. And this guy, he'd come out of the most horrendous background you would ever imagine. Done the most horrendous things. He was technically on the run from the police and immigration. And he ended up handing himself in for crimes that he had committed, did his time in prison. But he told us his testimony when we saw him, when he came out. And he said, I just praise God every day in that cell. He didn't care. His debt had been paid. He didn't care what man could do to him. And he went back, and the guy is now serving the Lord. Amazing. Even at Pentecost, the most amazing visual demonstration of God's power, tongues of fire, people speaking in different languages. Even there, Peter had to do his part, open his mouth and explain it, tell the gospel. Talks about how this was a fulfillment of the prophecies from Joel. He talks about Jesus. You know this Jesus. This Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed him, but God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. And if you follow Jesus today, guys, even for the first time, it's not possible for you to be held by death. We're all witnesses, he said. Jesus is now exalted at the right hand of God. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said, what should we do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Was it down to Peter? No. But he had a part to play. We're just messengers. Someone has to open their mouths and tell the good news. Amen. And when you're talking, don't worry about the words you're going to use, okay? We don't have to be really good with words. We don't have to have all the answers. It's great to study the Bible. But sharing the good news isn't about winning arguments. Paul says Christ didn't send him, Paul, to preach the gospel with words of eloquent wisdom. So the guy who wrote most of the New Testament, he wasn't there to preach the gospel with words of eloquent wisdom. It wasn't about his words. Why? Unless the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. We don't want to see that cross emptied of its power, do we? You see Christian culture, Christian kind of political stuff, or when you meet people and they're talking about God stuff, but it's not their heart, you know. It's horrible, isn't it? Isn't it horrible when you see the cross and it's about the power of man? We don't want to empty that cross of its power. It's not about our eloquent words. The power doesn't come from our words. The power is in what our words are describing. The power is from what happened on that hill outside Jerusalem. The power is from what happened in that tomb. Let me tell you about my boss. So an old boss of mine, we were walking down the corridor at work. She complained about some pain in her leg, offered to pray for her for about 5 seconds. And she was like, oh, it's gone all warm. It's tingling. It's different. The pain's gone. The power of God. It wasn't in my words. It's in what my words were talking about. Okay? She had to hear that. Now, you will get opportunities to tell people the good news about Jesus. And in those opportunities, just tell people the truth. Don't deny him. Don't act like he's dead and buried like those dinosaurs. Just tell the truth. And don't get hung up on using the right words. Just confess Jesus. Start telling the truth. And as you do it, it will be Spirit-led. Spirit doesn't force you. Spirit-led evangelism, Spirit can't make you do anything. You have to submit to it. You have to just start talking. Don't wait for the amazing moment. Oh, I'm so full of the Holy Spirit. That's not going to happen. Yeah, it might be right now, but like, it's not going to happen. Just do it. Just do it. And as you do it, he will lead you. Your blood will start pumping. Guaranteed. You will be scared, but you'll be excited and you'll be living life to the full. Wow. Sometimes it's hard. Yeah, you're really tired, you're busy, might be depressed, stressed, bitter, hurting. You can't be bothered. Yeah, I get that most of the time. But tell you what, I'm so grateful for all the people who told me the good news. They were busy, they were stressed at times, they've been through disappointment and suffering. They still told me. They still opened their mouths and they told me the good news. Why? Because deep down, way, way deep down, in the deepest part of who they are, they know that Jesus is alive. Okay? So, a king got crowned yesterday, if you didn't notice. Another king got crowned 2,000 years ago. It's been said today, but let's hear it again. They put a crown of thorns on him. They put a scarlet robe on him. They put a reed in his right hand. They struck him. They kneeled before him. They mocked him. They blindfolded him. They gouged his back with whipping. They spat on him. They took the robe away. They took him to the hill. They offered him wine mixed with a bitter substance. They gambled over his clothes. They nailed him to a cross and they left him there until he died. I'm not holding anything against the people that did that. Jesus said, forgive them, Father. They do not know what they do. That's there for me. Yeah? My disobedience. Jesus did that for me. I was wondering if we could bow before Jesus. I'm not the kind of guy who likes it when someone at the front tells me to do something physical. It's annoying. So if you don't bow, that's absolutely fine. And remember, we're not emptying the cross of its power. We're not just doing things for man. We're not doing things to impress people. The king was crowned. Okay? I wonder if we could just bow in humility before Jesus today. If you want to bow your head or get down on the floor and bow. I think someone's hoovered the carpet recently. It should be all right. But I'd love it if we just bow before him. Yeah, and I think I've said enough. So where you are, whoever you are, pray out your thanks to the Lord. Praise the King. We hail you, King Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy of everything. Forgive us for denying you. Forgive us for acting like you're dead and buried. Forgive us of receiving of your goodness, not telling anyone else. We repent, Jesus, for every story I told today of something good happening. There's about 100,000 of when I just put my headphones in. None of us are worthy of you, Jesus, but you're so good to us. Thank you that your plan is for us to have life and life in its all its fullness. You want us to have exciting days. You want us to have the thrill of seeing people come out of darkness into light. From every nation, tribe and tongue. Thank you, Jesus, for the people we're going to meet in the next weeks, months and years. Lord, in those moments, we won't deny you. We will tell them the good news and we'll leave it with you. Thank you, Jesus, that you're not still on the cross. Thank you that you are exalted at the right hand of God. Thank you, Jesus, that your coronation is coming soon, really soon. Thank you that you'll wipe away every single tear. Thank you, Jesus, that you will make all things new. Lord, the gold we have on this earth is nothing compared to what you are building, your golden city where we will worship you. We won't even need the sun. The Lord Jesus Christ will be our sun. And Jesus, you desire that none should perish, but all should come to the knowledge, the salvation of God. I wonder if we could sing or praise the name of the Lord our God. And as we sing, let's pray this. Let's pray this as a prayer for all of the lost that we know in our lives. And if you have never actually received the good news, if you've never bowed to Jesus before, make sure you talk to someone, pray with them, tell them. Can't do this on our own. Just take a minute with the people you're sat with just to pray for each other now, for boldness to tell people about Jesus. Grab someone near you, lay hands on each other, pray for each other that all of you will be filled with the Holy Spirit today, freshly each day, with boldness to tell people the good news about Jesus.